Welcome to Bible Believers Fellowship and the ministry of BBFOhio.com and the conclusion of our study of Revelation chapter 20, verses 2 and 3, titled, Satan Bound in the Bottomless Pit. And they believed that there was an entranceway to the earth, the center of the earth, at the poles. And so they sent an expedition. And they went to Antarctica and tried to find the entrance to the earth. Now, they believed that if they got in there, they would find this utopia. That down here, there's a whole world. And I mean, we're talking all the famous Nazis. Not just a couple of crazies. They were all crazy, but they believed this. And there's still today, there are still people, they call it the Hollow Earth Theory. And I'm not promoting the Hollow Earth Theory that you hear about in the New Age world and all that. What I'm promoting is there's no access there right now. The angel had a key, remember? And the doors are shut. But it is there. And it's not a fun place. This is not a place you want to stumble across. And what I believe is that when Satan is thrown into this bottomless pit, it'll be in the middle of the earth, and God will basically orchestrate it so that he'll fall from one side to the other, and it'll just keep happening until he's taken out. And if that sounds crazy to you, the fact is, it's actually scientific. That if there is a hollow section in the earth, it would function just like that. Gravity. And I've got some unbelievers here who are going to explain it to you. It's what we call a philosophical word problem, you know, that a lot of people love to talk. They don't believe it's possible. But yet, scientifically...
What about a single vertical shaft that begins on one side of a planet and extends all the way out the other side? On Earth, such a shaft would stretch a total of 7,900 miles or 12,700 kilometers. Sounds like a bottomless pit to me. What happens? Well, you start falling. Gravity pulls on us at 32 feet or 9.8 meters per second squared. That means that for each second you fall, you speed up by 32 feet per second, but only near Earth's surface.
Now, gravity is a function of mass, and mass is a property of matter. When you're on the surface of the Earth, all of the planet's matter is beneath your feet. But as you fall through this imagined hole, more and more of it surrounds you, exerting its own gravity.
These horizontal tugs cancel each other out, but the increasing proportion of mass above your head exerts a growing counterforce to the decreasing mass below. So your crazy acceleration actually slows a bit as you near the core.
And when you reach the core, or the section of the tunnel extending through it, your acceleration due to gravity reaches zero. The mass of an entire planet surrounds you, canceling out gravity and leaving you weightless.
Oh, but you're not stopping here to float around. You're going way too fast. Halfway to the center, your speed hits 15,000 miles per hour or 24,000 kilometers per hour.
You reach the core segment of the tunnel a mere 21 minutes after jumping in, and you blast right through at 18,000 miles per hour or 29,000 kilometers per hour. We're talking re-entry speeds here.
Another 21 minutes pass with gravity slowing the whole way. You reach the far side of the Earth and stop briefly in mid-air. This is where it pays to have a pen pal on the other side of the world, because unless someone catches you, you'll fall back down and enjoy the entire 42 minutes, 12 second fall again and again and again.
In theory, you could keep falling back and forth indefinitely, falling forever in this never-ending bottomless pit.
How about that? So there you go. Now, I want to give a little disclaimer. It is true that several known scientific factors, like the so-called Coriolis effect, would have to be suspended, and other objections of science would be leveled against this teaching. That's why you heard the one guy call it this imagined, you know. But these, like objections to creationism, the virgin birth, bodily resurrection, and all miracles, are answered with one single word: God. You see, science will tell you that, by the way, that was Neil deGrasse Tyson that had the hard hat on and the goggles. That was falling through there. Some of you are aware. I'm reading his book right now, it's on Origins, and I can't remember the long title of it. But he's constantly basically saying the Bible is a myth and discounting the Scripture and everything else. And I'm talking to, and he may even watch this, and I'm not going to name him or anything, but I'm having a good conversation for a change with an atheist. Because most atheists are very cocky and arrogant, like most Christians. And so when they come at me with a question, they come arrogantly and calling me names and saying, "You're fat, I win," you know, that kind of thing. And that's how arguments always end with most atheists anyway. It's, you know,
and
it, yeah, it does. I showed Jenny. It's like they can't deal with the facts, so okay, then you're fat. I win. I'm like, no, that doesn't mean anything, actually. But, and, you know, and I, once in a while I'll explain to him that it's my wife's fault. But, but normally I just stop the conversation. You know, if that's where they're at, then they know they're done. But, when you talk to people, and it's not just atheists, it's a lot of people, even professing Christians, they'll say, "You really believe in that rapture thing? You really believe that God created everything in six literal days? You really believe that Mary got pregnant without having any relations with a man?" Every one of those objections dies with this word. If you just believe in God, there's no problem there. What kind of God can't do those things? He's not a God if He can't do them. He's one of us. And God can do these things. So an interesting side note is also this little thing here about what does it sound like down there? Now, there's a video or an audio out there that is false. It's fake. It claims to be the sounds of hell from the center of the earth. And somebody supposedly recorded this in Russia and all that. And it sounds like people screaming and everything. And it's faked. It's not. But this was actually in Germany. They dropped the microphone down in this hole. It's about this big around. But they drilled 8 miles down. They still got a long way to go, and they ran out of money. But, because, you know, it's like 7,000 some miles, so it'd be like 3,500 miles to get to the core. And that's as far as, you think man is so advanced. We've only gotten 8 miles deep, and there's 3,500 miles to go.
Wow.
Man got a long way to go. But they did drop a microphone down there, and they only had a cord that reached 6 miles. So they went 6 miles down. And this is what they heard when they listen, and it's not going to be freaky or anything, but just listen. That is a microphone 6 miles down into the earth, sitting, nothing out there, nothing in it. It's a hole this big around. The cover was, there's no wind. Exactly. It's not some freaky thing with people screaming and all that like you get on some YouTube videos. That's science. You can look it up. This is a scientific experiment that they did in Germany. And I agree with what Mark said. It sounds like a huge fire to me. Yeah, Sean?
How was that microphone when they pulled it back out?
It was built to deal with heat. Yeah, it was it's very hot. I mean, even just 6 or 8 miles down, it's very hot.
Like, you can go 40.
Sounds like God got the furnace filled this year.
It's what it, you know, the first time I heard that, I thought, you know, that sounds like, you know, just a furnace. I mean, that's what it sounds like.
Yeah.
Well, isn't that something that God says that's what it is down there?
And there's smoke that ascends out of the bottom.
Yes, when they pop the lid on during the tribulation period, whenever they open those. So I just take this literally. I mean, I believe it. I believe he's going to be thrown into a bottomless pit. It'll shut him in. They'll have a seal, just like they did on the tomb that Jesus came out of 3 days later. And that he should deceive the nations no more because he's deceiving them now. Till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. I believe it's literal, 1,000 years. And at the end of that 1,000 years, it says, and after that he must be loosed a little season. That's a big problem for some people who study this. They're like, why would God do that. And I was telling Jenny that I was listening to John Piper. I'm not a fan. But somebody sent me this link where someone asked him, why does God allow Satan to run free now? And, well, if you're amillennial, he's not. Yeah, that'd be a great answer to that. But if you believe the Bible, he's on the loose, and God is sovereign and all-powerful. Why does he allow Satan to continue loose and free? And, you know, the quick, easy answer is that it's because God allows free will, and God has, before, it says before the foundations, he had this plan. And he said that he was going to do it this way. And so there's one reason why God allows Satan to continue doing what he's doing, because he's God. He said he was going to do this, and if he doesn't, that makes him a liar. He wouldn't be God. He has this plan, he has his reasons, and he has decided, you know what? Because listen, Satan only has power over you when you allow him. You see, if the whole world would just reject him, we wouldn't have anything to worry about. The problem isn't really Satan. The problem is people. We were talking about, for some reason, the issue of alcohol came up earlier. And people have asked me, because I don't have a sermon out there called Demon Alcohol. And I don't stand up here and preach, alcohol, alcohol, it's the devil's liquor. You know, what do they call it? Elixir, you know. The sweat of the devil and stuff like that you hear from people. Why? Because the problem isn't the alcohol. The problem is the person. There's been so much preaching against the inanimate objects. If I believed that alcohol was the problem, and I also, as we were talking earlier, I would have to believe guns were a problem. But see, guns aren't the problem. I have guns. I carry a gun a lot. I have a concealed carry permit, just in case the wrong person's listening right now. So, and you know what? That gun has never jumped out and hurt anybody. That gun, when it's in my house and I'm sitting on my lazy boy, and it's back in my drawer, sometimes right next to me, just in case the wrong person's listening, it's never bit me. It's never shot itself off. I'm not dozing off one day and all of a sudden, pow, get back in the room. You little Ruger. And so what do I preach against? I preach against sin. And I'm not going to preach against inanimate objects. And I just want you to understand that if Satan didn't have willing accomplices in human flesh, we wouldn't have to worry about the devil. So don't get mad at God for the devil. That's what people are doing. People are getting mad at God because of the devil. You may know people, maybe someone here tonight. Maybe that's really something that's bothered you. It's hindered your love for the Lord, your relationship with the Lord, because you're like, you don't understand some of these things. You need to just understand personal responsibility. Free will means responsibility. And Satan is going to be loosed after... Because, wait a minute, before I jump here, you ever heard people say, well, they must not have very good upbringing. When you see a bad kid, it must be the parents' fault. I've seen some kids who are raised by idiots, and they're just wonderful people. I'm not going there. I'm just glad Mariah didn't say amen. And I've said this before, but Adam and Eve were raised by the perfect Father. And it got us all in this mess. So, not blaming... The blame game just doesn't work. And here is a time for 1,000 years where Jesus is... How many of you have really said... I've actually said this. Lord, why can't we just have you here with us? Why can't you just, you know... And there's theological explanations for that, but I'm just saying there's times where you just love to have Jesus. Jesus, just come down and fix everything. He's gonna. But in the meantime, until it's His time, He's not gonna. And you just wonder, you know, what would it be like if Jesus would actually right now, if everybody just loved the Lord and obey His Word, we would live in a millennial type. It's not Bernie Sanders that's going to bring in utopia.
Amen.
It is faith in the Lord Jesus Christ lived out. Sadly, that's really not going to happen until then. On a large scale. Mass scale. But it is going to happen there. And here you're going to have this perfect world, and they're still going to rebel. They're still going to follow Satan at the end of 1,000 years of peace.
That's right.
What's that tell you? That confirms the biblical doctrine of the depravity of man.
Amen.
Love darkness rather than light because the deeds are evil.
That's right.
And we'll come back to that in verse 7 in our next study. Yes, Johnny.
I would just mention, as far as one of the reasons why Satan is still loose right now, isn't there a phrase in the Old Testament somewhere, I forget exactly what it is, but like there something is not yet full?
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, the Amorites.
There are times when God will have a set amount of sin that will let someone do it after that.
Absolutely.
So
yeah.
Maybe that's partially why Satan is being allowed, because God is having...
Yeah, don't think for a minute that just because we don't have exact answers for why God's doing things, I mean, one of the main things is His long-suffering.
Yeah.
And you just look at yourself, I don't know about you, I'll just talk about me, but as far as Greg Miller is concerned, I am amazed when I look at especially what I did for a few years in the 80s before I became a Christian, the way I was living, I'm amazed you didn't just kill me or let me die. There were a couple, two or three times where I had near-death situations. I mean, I was in a car wreck one time and should have gone through the windshield and for some reason didn't. And a couple other instances I won't go into, but why did He not just let me die? I had a couple friends die, you know. And they weren't as bad as me, as far as I knew. Why? I mean, but God's got His reasons, and all I can do is thank God for His long suffering. And if you're here today, not living for the Lord, yes, He's long suffering, but you shouldn't press it. You shouldn't take it for granted. You should stop today if you're not living for the Lord. Stop today and then just, in repenting toward God, thank Him for the fact that He has had mercy, that He's let you come this far, and then live for the Lord from this point. And that's all I've done in my life. I haven't been perfect or anything like that. But the one thing I will simply say for those, especially there's people who knew me back then, knew me those years ago, and once in a while, you know, because of social media, they'll get in contact with me. And they'll ask me, you know, what in the world? The only thing that happened to me was Jesus.
Amen.
It wasn't me turning over a new leaf or anything. It's Jesus. When I got saved, my sins are forgiven. I really, really just turned to Him and said, why did you even bother? I'm going to live my life for you as best I can. With your strength, your power, I want to live for you. Let's pray. Father, we thank You, Lord, for this time and Your Word. And just do pray that anyone hearing this tonight understand just this is true. This is truth. This is not fiction. It's not sci-fi. It is reality. And it's about to happen. And Lord, I pray that we will be serious about serving You, not for any other reason than out of being grateful for being saved and being motivated by the facts, by the truth, and by the knowledge that we see that the stage is set. We're really close. Really close. And we just look forward to being with You. But in the meantime, Lord, help us. Help us to serve You and live for You and to love one another and love people enough to tell them the truth, not to worry about hurting people's feelings, not to worry about them not liking us or hating us, but just love people enough to tell them the truth. We'll speak with love, but we want to tell them the truth. And Lord, I just pray now you'll be with everyone as they go through the week, and that you'll be with the service Sunday, and that we'll see everybody next Friday, unless you rapture us out of here. So love to be raptured. And that's just because we want to be with you, Lord. We want to see you face to face in your presence. And until that time, we just pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I'll take another couple questions, and if you have to run off, you can, or if you want to go to the kitchen. But anybody else got any questions you want to ask? Yes, Stephen.
Did he, the problem's a good thing. Did they take into account that there's air in there?
Yeah, and that was a natural explanation. With the bottomless pit thing, is like I said, Satan is not a human being. He's an angelic being, a cherub. And so, you know, that and the fact that whatever God does in there doesn't have to submit to His laws. That's the key with God. God's the law maker. He's not even subject to the laws. We are. Jesus walked on water. Go try that, Charlie. Let me know how it goes. You know what I'm saying? Got wet. Got wet. Already tried.
So, and you're pretty sure it's not a spiritual realm? Like,
yes. I used to say that I didn't know, but after studying, I have to be honest, I'm pretty convinced. Because the Bible says that it doesn't leave it to a spiritual realm. I used to hear people say, well, maybe it's a wormhole. You know, and... you know, well, a wormhole would suck the earth and, you know.
We talked about smoke coming out.
Yeah.
There are also creatures that come out
of fire. Yes. All the references, you know, make it below. And, you know, out of the ocean, this and that. Out of this pit. And it doesn't ever tell us. There are a couple times where it says something comes from the sky. So that tells us when something comes from the sky, it tells us. So... wormwood, but an angel in the sky, you know, in Revelation 14, I saw in the sky, I saw an angel preaching the everlasting gospel. Doesn't say he came out of a pit. So when it says it's coming out of a pit, it's coming out of a pit. When it's coming out of the sky, it's coming out of the sky. And as long as you keep it that, you know, simple and plain, then...
Yeah, I think it's like a Jacob's ladder thing where angels were ascending into heaven.
No, see, that we were told that was a dream. You know, so... So it's not a physical thing because it was a dream, you know. You know, I used to, like I said, I've told people before when I was a kid, people say, you don't shape up, you're going to go down. And everybody says, oh, we don't know where hell is. Hell's not really down there, you know. And so then preachers I heard actually talk about how they thought maybe it was out in space or something. Or, you know, I'm like reading through the Bible, and all of a sudden it's like, wait a minute, the Bible makes it clear it's in the midst of the earth, the middle of the earth.
It's one of those... Like the argument for the molten core.
Yeah.
The scientific argument, of course, is pretty much it's the same thing for like evolution. You know, it's not.
Yeah, I think it could be semi-scientific, in a sense. The Bible says there was paradise and there's hell and there's a gulf in between. Now, that gulf, I mean, hell is fire, and that gulf, it doesn't say what was in the gulf. It doesn't say it was a water. You know, a gulf can be a big cavern, but the gulf could be the space in between the two. It could be the bottomless pit. And I've seen that drawn by a couple of people. They've drawn it up, and they've had, you know, hell over here, paradise over here, and the gulf is the bottomless pit that runs from one end to the other, wherever the opening is.
Like... hell and paradise, they don't necessarily have to take up the entire center of the earth.
Right, right.
Not,
right.
But you could probably throw everybody into a...
You could fit all of the humans.
Yeah.
Yeah, into a smaller place. So it's not...
Everybody could comfortably stand in that.
Yeah. Right. How many of you knew that, by the way? You put everybody standing without touching in the city limits of Jacksonville, Florida.
Your angel's bound in the river Euphrates right now.
Yeah, and it says it's the river Euphrates, so I don't think it's talking about, you know, some galaxy far, far away, you know. I think it's in the river Euphrates, and I think we're going to be fascinated when we put on the glorified goggles that we're going to get. And because right now, I mean, you think about, we only see, if you look at the range of waves, we only see like here, and there's all these waves out there that we can't see. We can't hear. But I think the angels can.
But color is relative to your...
Yeah. And so when we get on the glorified goggles, we actually have glorified eyes and body, we will be able to just see all this stuff that was always there. Yep, that was always there. You just couldn't see it.
Well, another proof of counting down there is when the earth opened up and swallowed some of the children of Israel.
Yeah, I was thinking
about yeah.
The earth swallowed up.
Yeah.
It opened up and they went down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some book, huh?
Okay. And something I have to do with Bible study is more hell. Is hell? Of course, we when we die, our bodies go into into the earth. You put in the ground. The body you can place in the ground.
Physical body, yeah.
The physical body, yeah. So then your soul then goes to hell. You're not given a new body. Hell.
I believe you put on your body at the Great White Throne, because it says the bodies will be raised, and then you will, just like the rapture, the saints come back in their spirit body with Jesus, but then their physical body clothes that. And I believe the same thing's going on. And then once they're cast in the lake of fire, the Bible, there's reason to believe that it's going to be serpent-like or like a worm, because the Bible makes the worm dieth not. There's be like an asbestos suit, only you'll feel it.